Y'all, I'm inviting some of our friends from the Cuba team to come and join me. Come on, don't be afraid. This is a good group. They don't bite usually. I don't even know who's talking first, but I'll read some scripture and then. Wait! I just turned my back. I didn't say sit down. God. I'm gone a week and you forget the routine. You want to hear some word of God, some of the word of God? Come on, stand up. It's Acts chapter 14, and we're going to hear the scripture, and then this is like an object lesson. We're going to hear the scripture, and we're going to live the scripture together. Acts 14, this comes at the end of Paul and Barnabas and their group. They've made their first what we call the missionary journey through a region, and then they kind of backtrack before they return home. So this is Acts 14:21. They preached the gospel in that city and won a large number of disciples, and then they returned through Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said. And then verse 26, from Attalia, they sailed back to Antioch, or my translation, from Cuba, they flew back to Savannah. Where they had first been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. And on arriving there, they gathered the church together. See, I told you, we were living it. We're not just reading it. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all. I don't know if we've got time for all. On arriving there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened a door of faith for the Gentiles. And they stayed there a long time with the disciples. Gracious God, we're thankful that we don't live by bread alone. We live by every word from God, and by the power of your Spirit, we can live the very word of God. Open our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive that word and live in Him, live in Jesus. Amen. Amen. Y'all, I'm going to stand. You can sit down now. Sorry. You were afraid to. You were afraid I would make you stand up again. I got you nervous this time. All right, stand up one more. No. Not really. Y'all, many of you know William and Heather Sherouse. You know Texas and Pete Cates. Slide to the middle. I'm going to stand at the side. You can come up forward, too. Get on the carpet. Everybody, this is like Simon Says or something today. Sit up, stand up, come up forward. This is part of our great team. We got to spend a week with the people of southeastern Cuba, Bayamo, Granma Province, Cuba, as guests there of the Cuban Methodist Church. I was telling Brother Kyle from Isle of Hope Baptist, the Methodist Church in Cuba, they don't know that they're not Pentecostals. You know, they don't know. The thing I missed this morning is that every church service we went to in Cuba, there was one song that was like the dancing song. And everybody there knew it wasn't written anywhere, but they just knew. And when they started singing it, they left the aisles and were dancing everywhere. I mean, it was kind of, so we need to decide now, what's the dancing song? I don't know. I was Kate's family, Sherouse family, Tucker family. We were all together with another, 10 folks from Springfield Oaks Church in Effingham. They were really the initiators of this project, and we were the tag alongs. But I've invited any who would to come and just share a word of how you experienced God, how you saw God at work, how God touched you, how you felt like God used you. The only thing is you got to hold two mics, okay? You got to hold the mic, that big mic, so that you can be heard in this room, and you got to hold this mic so that you can be recorded for the internet and anybody that's not here. All right, so who's going to go first? We didn't plan this. So Heather's got the mic, so why didn't Heather just go first? Okay. And you can just leave that mic there.
All right. Is it on? Hello?
Okay. There you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Buenos dias. Buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
Glory to God. Gloria a Dios. The churches of Cuba are on fire for God. The people of Cuba are absolutely on fire for God. It was something to see. It was an amazing experience. In fact, the lyrics of one of the songs that they sang went, "We're on fire and we don't want any firemen." No bomberos. They were loving it. They were so in the spirit. And it's extremely hot in Cuba, so fire was very fitting for the entire experience. But the fire of the Holy Spirit was far hotter. Mucho fuego. The people of Cuba are also oppressed. They're poor. Mm. They have little resources, including very rare spurts of electricity. Sometimes on the trip, I thought, they don't know what we have. But more often than not, I thought, we don't know what they have. The fire in their hearts and their souls. It was very inspirational. And nothing compares to the promise we have in Jesus Christ. More important than what we have, what else we have here on earth. And though they had so little, they showed our team such hospitality and with joy, just with such joy to just get together and fellowship and praise God. And the hospitality wasn't for us, the Americans. It was just, they were just so grateful and had so much joy, and they just wanted to share it, and they certainly did. And they really touched my heart. I went to Cuba hoping that I could, you know, spread some encouragement to them, but they encouraged me for sure, far more than I encouraged them. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul writes, "Do not put out the Spirit's fire." Mm. And that phrase really signifies the entire trip. Today, I'll pray for the fire of the Holy Spirit to be reignited in me and in you. I pray that we will be excited to come together to worship God. I pray that the church attendance is not just a box that we check every week. I pray that our hearts will be on fire with the Holy Spirit. I am inspired, and I pray for mucho fuego aquí, much fire here. And I'm sure William will tell me how I butchered the Spanish. Thank you.
Yeah, give William the mic.
Good morning. So I have a little bit of mission trip experience, not much. I've been to a couple River of Lights here in America, and I've been to one international mission trip before this, which was Tapachula last summer. But I had a lot of nerves going into this trip. It seems like what we're going to be doing was going to be a lot different than what I'd done on previous mission trips. I've done a lot of like labor and like physical service for people, and it seemed like this trip was going to be a lot more of like minister and encouragement and stuff that I didn't have much experience in. So I was very nervous about where I was in my faith going into this, if I was where I needed to be. Like I said, I had a little bit of confusion about what we were going to be doing. And I was really concerned, like, what do I have to offer to these people? This is a 19-year-old man. I don't know, still growing up. And what I talked to myself and with my family about was, for encouragement, was like about the characters in the Bibles being characters in the Bible, just being normal people that God called. Mm. And so that helped a lot with, you know, getting the courage to go. And then once I got there, the experience was just, it can't be put into words, but I'm going to try a little bit. Their situation, I wanted to share the juxtaposition between their situation economically, socially, versus their spiritual situation. It's might be the biggest juxtaposition I've ever seen in a large group of people. It is. So their government oppressed them severely, and it was so clear. Like as soon as we got there, it was just so clear, and it continued to be that clear. Their money situation is abysmal. I mean, there was people waiting in line for rations for food from the government. The only thing that seemed to be kept up in this country was the propaganda that was around the city and the brainwash in the school system. There was actually a little park we went to on the last day where actually we stayed in Bayamo. And if you look up Bayamo on Google, it shows only pictures of this park. And it's a very well-kept park, and it's beautiful, and the buildings are well-painted. And I kid you not, the back side of the buildings are deteriorating. The whole – it's just – it was really interesting to me to see how the government just has such – the people are under the government's thumb, and it's really heartbreaking. And another thing about that park, the pastor who hosted us, Rodolfo, said the government makes sure that park has electricity 24/7. And then the rest of the city, like my mom said, is rare to have electricity throughout the day. And I just felt like sharing that to share what they're dealing with. And then we go to church. And their faith, like my mom said, is just absolutely inspiring. It was breathtaking. I was so overwhelmed. I didn't even know what to think at first. It took adjusting on my part to even just be in the presence of them worshiping. It was absolutely insane. Feel the Holy Spirit was definitely moving through every single congregation we went to like crazy. Like my mom said, the church was on fuego. Fuego, yeah, fire. And that seemed to be a common theme of a lot of their talks and stuff, which is really cool. Another thing I wanted to touch on was like their gratitude. Like my mom said, it was like they were rolling out the red carpet. Like they didn't have much to offer, but it seemed like they had all these great fruits and meals. And you know, at first, a lot of us felt like guilty eating this when we saw the kids would be watching us eating because they were struggling with their food. They were malnourished. And I think it definitely took adjusting to realize it was just their gratitude and like they're such a grateful people, which is just so hard to fathom considering the situation they were in. During their worship, they would have just the most amazing worship with this. They would have these dramas where the people, they had like members of the congregation doing these dances and stuff. And another thing I wanted to say was like these, they would have churches. We weren't obviously able to visit every church in the district. So they had churches from, we would visit one church kind of per city kind of thing. And all the churches would meet and come see us. And we'd meet all these pastors. And then we'd meet and be like, how can we pray for y'all? And they pray for us, which really touched me as well. But yeah, I figured through the trip, I started to realize more of like my role. And like, I was so nervous about what my role was going to be going into the trip. And then I realized like just my presence as part of the team, like physically able to bring money and supplies to them that are very hard to send through the mail because of the government's oppression. And then spiritually is just the fact that a group came to support them and encourage them and pray with them in person and hug them and hold hands and worship together. That was very powerful for me. And I think it was for them, the people of Cuba as well. Yes, we made a lot of connections with people, and I was nervous about – in Tapachula, we spent a week with the group, and we were able to connect and make deep connections. Here, we were meeting, going around place to place, meeting so many people. I was nervous about making connections, and it seemed to me that, like, everybody on the trip made a connection with, like, a different group that we went with, that we met, which is really cool, and, like, exchanged numbers. And I've been texting and – talking with the pastor named Guillermo, which means William in Spanish. And that's actually how we connected at first. I was like, hey, Guillermo, I'm Guillermo. And so we've been texting and we're going to be praying for each other. And something that was cool, like just another thing about how grateful they are. He was even thanking me for the opportunity to work on his English, texting me. So, yeah, going forward, I felt like what the Holy Spirit was trying to do through me is to make those few connections and remain in contact with the people, some of the people I connected with, as well as come back to America and share my experience with y'all and with my friends and who God convicts me to share it with, as well as I acquired some skills like the encouragement. I now feel like I've really worked on the skills to where if I'm talking with a friend who's going through something, I have this, the, you know, we talked a lot about scriptures. I now know a lot of scriptures in my head about encouragement, as well as, you know, some things to say, as well as perspective to be grateful for what we have here. Not that all of our issues are trivial. We still have our issues, and but just that perspective that we do have a lot more than we realize, and just a deeper sense of gratitude. But yeah, that's about it.
All right. So the typical worship service was 2 to 3 hours long. So get ready. With no air conditioning and about 120 degrees in the room. So get ready. But no, first I want to say thank you. Thank you for encouraging us to go, giving us the opportunity to go, praying for us, giving so that we could go. And we know we went on a foundation that was laid way before us. We were able to reap some things that we did not sow. And maybe we sowed some things that we will see reaping of later. And so we're thankful, very, very thankful. Scott asked us to, you know, say, hey, talk about this. And how did God work through you? I'm still processing that. I don't know that I'll ever finish processing that. But I do know that Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another daily, so long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We don't know we're being deceived. That's deceitfulness in and of itself. And so I do know from Scott's scripture, it then released me to say, I think, what I was cautious to say is I'm just testifying to what I saw. I'm a firsthand witness. This is not hearsay. This is not something someone told me. Just like the disciples, as they traveled on their missionary journeys and came back to their home churches, they testified. They were witnesses to God's work. So what did I witness? I witnessed Christ in people with very little financially. Oppressed in a communist country, pour out their love, all of their love, all of their resources in acts of service and worship and giving and the overflowing of the Holy Spirit at every church. All 14, I think, how many that we were at. Two, I can give testimony that I saw a man healed who walked in with a cane and left without it. He could squat up and down. He could barely walk when they brought him to the altar. I can say, I saw a person come with a walker to baptism and leave without the walker. This is not hearsay. This happened. And that's just one of many we saw. You don't get that in a little Baptist church in Waynesboro, Georgia. We witness the hardest working people in a church. They're the church ushers. I kid you not. They are dressed to the T, as is everybody. And the church ushers are there early. They stay late. They're probably there 5 or 6 hours. They're getting ready for worship. We don't come to worship. We enter into worship there. Worshiping is going on before we enter the room. At every church, and the ushers are taking microphones and they're fixing things, and the power's going out, and they're resetting and rebooting. They're bringing the lame to the altar. The churches, there were no pews tied down to the floor. Why? Because when we were called to the altar, you had to move the pews out of the way. The pews, 4, 5, 6 rows would disappear. And the ushers did that. The ushers were there bringing to the sick and those wanting to come to the altar. They were keeping order. They were catching people as they were being slain in the spirit and laying them down softly and picking them up gently. The hardest working people
Tell it.
There.
Tell
the
it.
Ushers. What a new word. We participated in worship that was loud, dancing field. The only thing I can equate it to is the Georgia-Florida game when Lindsey Scott goes all the way. That was exciting. And if you weren't jumping and dancing then, you were for Florida. This was 10 times that. There was a nightclub across the street from the Biama Church. A nightclub. I mean, loud music, strobe lights, everything going on like you would be in if you were in a nightclub. Not that you ever been to one, but I have. And we were louder than they were. We danced longer than they did. We shut them down every night. And it was normal. It wasn't extraordinary. It was their normal life. That's what we witnessed. I witnessed something that I'm starting to process, and I keep joking with Scott. At every church, little or small, dirt floor, cement floor, no air conditioning anywhere. At the entrance or at the front of the church, it was a little different, but at every church, there was this wooden board that had cards in it with your name. It would be like Texas and Pete's card. And on that card, publicly, was my giving. Publicly, my giving. I don't know who's in charge of stewardship, but that may be the plan. Shame is not from God, but accountability is. I witnessed that in every church. Not one, every church. Probably the most craziest Holy Spirit thing I witnessed, my fear going in, and so was Texas. We're going to a communist country. We're American, obviously. You know, we're exceedingly wealthy here and there. You know, they're going to take us hostage. You know, and you know, this crazy thing, we're going to go to a baptism in a public place, this big beach with a pool, and there could be 700 people baptized, over 1,000 people there. You know, that's calling attention. The police are going to be there. The military is going to come in. They're going to lock us all up. Hell, they may shoot us. I don't know. And I was legitimately concerned about that. God is so good. Not only did that not happen, obviously, we had a police escort in, and one of the policemen was baptized.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's like the first, this was first century. This was the Roman centurion coming to Christ in the oppression of the first century church. We came there to encourage. They greatly encouraged us. I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I don't know. But I say, all the glory and honor is His. He is alive, and His love endures forever, and He is a loving, kind Father.
Amen. Amen. Y'all can either stay or go. I don't have time to talk much because we got to have communion together. Y'all, you heard it, testimonies. Not secondhand, thirdhand reports of those who went strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. What I want you to know is there's not like us who went and those who stayed, because the Antioch church from the first century, not everybody went. Some went, some stayed. The Antioch church, they didn't wait till they did everything in Antioch and got everything fixed and right in Antioch before they started sending. They were working in Antioch, and they were sending throughout the rest of the world. And here's the word I want to give you, that word that they shared on the road and at home. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. Isn't that opposite from some things that you've heard about the gospel? Believe Jesus, He'll tie it all up in a bow, right? He'll answer your every prayer. He'll meet your every need. It's not the gospel they were preaching. We must go through many hardships. You've heard them describe some of the temporal hardships, but what we saw is that obstacles became opportunities. And so our worries weren't really temperature or electricity or economic freedom, because those were faced by everybody, not just the Christians there, by everybody. But it was only the Christians who were turning to Jesus for strength again and again to face those hardships. To stand in the middle of that kind of difficulty that's constant and to still say, Jesus is King. That's faith. I don't know if they pray for the electricity. I'd be praying every day for the electricity. I was praying every day. And especially every night, laying in my bed in the pool of my own sweat, wishing that the AC would come back on. I don't know if they pray for electricity, but they do pray for the power of God. They do pray for the healing of God. And so that's why we went, to say with them, yes, Jesus is King. Yes, Jesus is King. We went to say it to them. We went to hear them say it to us. And we went to say it together. And we come back to proclaim it again here. Y'all, for me, we kind of shamed the bishop. The bishop gathered, met us up on that big baptism and kind of led that service, preached to us. It was 100 degrees. And he reminded us that you don't separate the power of the Holy Spirit from the moment of repentance. And he had people, he was praying to fill people with the Spirit right there, laid out on the pavement, and it was crazy. He said to us, the American team, he said, y'all kind of shamed me a little bit. It's like, oh no, we're in trouble. We've shamed the bishop. We visited a remote church that he had not yet even visited yet. It took us a bus ride, and then in the back of what was sort of like a dump truck that we had to ride, and then on a boat for 2 hours to this church way up the river. A community, get this though, it's a community of only 250 people. Over half of them, they've won to Jesus. What would that mean, church, if we won over half of your street even to Jesus, under literally a hot tin roof, a hot tin roof, we met Jesus who is King. So you'll know, practically speaking, some of the resources that you were able to provide through us. We'll have that little church out on the edge of the river, they'll have a new generator in a couple of weeks. The central church where was that kind of our home base? They'll have some solar panels on their roof within the month or so. I'm working with another pastor in one of the other cities. I preached in his pulpit. We've already become friends. We baptized together. They paired Americans with Cubans to do the baptisms in the pool. He needs a generator. They borrowed, the day we came, they borrowed a generator from another church so they could have power for the special service. Y'all. But Jesus. That's what Jesus is doing. It's what he's doing there. It's what we've seen him do here. It's what we count on him to continue to do. Church, we don't just believe the Word of God. We live the Word of God. Let's keep living the Word of God. I want to invite you around the table of the Lord. I believe around the Lord's table, he offers forgiveness. I believe around the Lord's table, he offers nourishment, strength to get you through what you're living in right now. I believe at the Lord's table, he offers healing. If you'll identify that before him and ask him to heal you. I believe God, through Holy Communion, can fill you with his Spirit as he nourishes you. He'll fill you with his Spirit so that you'll have power to speak and to testify and to serve just like Jesus serves.